Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Friday, everybody. We have made it not only to Friday, but 3-day weekend. Spencer on Sports kicking off local programming here on this May 26th of 2023. Lots to get to in the short time we have together, so we'll dive right in. 319-366-1600 is the talk or text line. Phone lines wide open, text line open as well. Anything you'd like to weigh in on as we get ready for the extended weekend, your thoughts welcome by call or by text here this afternoon. Spencer Wagon, my name, producer Isaac, along for the ride as well. Lots of ways you can tune into the program. Radio side, 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids on the FM side, 106.3 on the FM side in Iowa City and Coralville. Stream us at KGYMradio.com. You can find us on the free-to-download app for your smartphone. Head to your app store today. Be sure there's no other weird KGYM apps out there. I don't think there are, but sometimes people do crazy stuff and put fake things up there to try to harm you, the innocent listener out there. Be sure you get our real app. Download it. You can stream us that way. You can also find us on your smart speaker and in podcast form after the show. It's up at KGYMradio.com. We have a series, Isaac. We've got a series in the NBA. I was wrong. I think, well, we were both wrong from yesterday. The Celtics do it again. Do I need to change my prediction? I still think the Heat are going to win. I think it's beneficial for them to go home for game six here. But, things getting tense, especially down in Miami.
Yeah, I think they're really starting to maybe look tired there. Yeah. Obviously, it's been – the way they play is just such a kind of grinded out sort of style that I would imagine playing this many games, eventually it kind of gets worn on you. You saw Gabe Vincent obviously struggle with injuries, the whole team really struggling with injuries. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was wrong. I thought the Celtics might just fold over after being down 3-0, and here they are, back-to-back wins. So I thought that the Heat would win the last two games, but yeah. I do think the Heat will go back home and close out the series, but I was wrong. I was just wrong about how the Heat would perform and how the Celtics would perform.
We were both wrong. I will still say Heat in six, but we will talk about last night's game five, which saw the Celtics win that one. And for say game six this weekend, we'll talk about that before 3 o'clock. Plenty of baseball to get to. The Big Ten baseball tournament resuming over in Omaha. Two games on the bracket for today. If I could find my handy bracket sheet, you got two games lined up for today playing right now. Indiana and Michigan, the Hoosiers falling to the losers bracket yesterday after falling to the Iowa Hawkeyes 9-4, a game we had start up during our show yesterday. Iowa moving on, a late inning rally to beat the Hoosiers. Hawkeyes will play tomorrow morning bright and early at 9 a.m. We'll talk about the rest of the Big Ten baseball tournament, take a look at what's going on in Major League Baseball as well, coming up in just a little while. But plenty of news to get to today. It's one of those classic days right into the holiday weekend. Just release all those big stories. Why not? Just we've been sitting on this for a while, and just put it out there. Why not? DeAndre Hopkins getting released. Surprise? No? I don't know. We'll get to that maybe before 3 o'clock. But the big news here in much of Iowa, but especially here in eastern Iowa, in proximity to the University of Iowa, and this is news, of course, across all of Hawkeye Nation. Today, the news coming out, Gary Barta, athletic director at the University of Iowa, set to retire on August 1st of this year after 17 years as athletics director. Rumbling started late last night. Folks putting some rumors out there on social media, and it was first reported earlier today by Pete Thamel from ESPN, confirmed by local media sources, and then released a little after 10 o'clock this morning that indeed Gary Barta will be stepping down, retiring as the athletic director at the University of Iowa. This was part of his statement. I won't read the whole thing, obviously, but this was a little bit of what Gary Barta had to say regarding this decision to retire again on August 1st. He said this: "The decision didn't come suddenly, nor did it come without significant thought, discussion, and prayer. He went on to say, as I've reflected, I came to the conclusion there is never a good time to step away because there's always more to be done. Barta finished this portion of his statement by saying, that said, I'm confident this is the right time for me and my family. So Gary Barta announcing that he will be retiring August 1st of 2023 after 17 years leading the University of Iowa Athletics Department. So leaving this up to you, the listener, much as you want to weigh in on this, I'm sure you have thoughts. Your initial reaction to hearing this news, and I'm curious, how will you view Gary Barta's tenure at the University of Iowa? There are positives and there are negatives, as we know. So are you kind of person, when you think about overall Iowa athletics under Gary Barta, are you going to think of the positives first or the negatives first? Are you a positive first person or a negative first person? What do you think? 319-366-1600 after the news came out earlier today that he is going to be stepping down effective August 1st of this year. I've been reading a lot today leading up to the show. I listened to a podcast with Chad Lystico and Dargan Southern from the Des Moines Register. And just in reading and seeing social media reaction and listening to Chad and Dargan from the Register, the word that I think, and you know, using my own thoughts obviously too, but the word that I think comes to mind the most when I think about how to describe things just in one word is the word complicated. And I think that's perfectly fair to say when you look at just all the good and the bad that has come with the tenure of Gary Barta at the University of Iowa. There's a lot of positives. You can't deny that. Obviously, he does, you know, the players and coaches that he's put in place, the coaches especially who've then recruited the players, get a lot of credit for the on-field success. And obviously they should, because they're the ones that are, you know, going out there and practicing and, you know, executing the game plans and winning games and winning championships and, you know, earning all Big Ten honors and so on and so forth. There are those things. And certainly as, you know, the leader of the athletic department, he gets a sliver of credit for that. But there are the negatives, and there's the PR blunders that are very prevalent. Number of issues when it comes to lawsuits. As we know, we just, you know, had the settlement come out with the racial discrimination lawsuit within the last few months. There are issues involving cutting sports and in terms of budget cuts with the COVID-19 pandemic, being forced to reinstate specifically women swimming and diving. There are a number of different ways you can look at Gary Barta's tenure at the University of Iowa. So I'm curious, where do you fall when you look back on his 17 years as athletic director, which not over just yet, but coming to an end here within the next few months? Are you going to say, well, we had a lot of positive things? Hawkeye fan or not, there are a lot of positive things that, you know, came of this, that did well for the university, that represented the university in a good way? Or is it going to be, yeah, there were positives, but a lot of people took notice of the bad? I think it's a perfectly fair question to ask. What say you? 319-366-1600. That is your talk or text line here for you this afternoon. Barta, only 59 years old as he makes this announcement. When it comes to tenure, he's fifth among Power 5 athletic directors, leading the department since 2006. And, it's been a position of stability. It's one thing you can look at when you look at the University of Iowa when it comes down to it with athletic directors. Bump Elliott from 1970 to 91, succeeded by Bob Boolsby, and then Bob Boolsby into Gary Barta. That's some pretty big stability when it comes to the athletic department. But how will you view the tenure? That's just a curious question that I have when it comes to when you look at the 17 years that Gary Barta has been in place at the University of Iowa. Like I said, can't deny the positive impact on the field. A lot of NCAA championships competed for and won. Four NCAA championships won in wrestling. Big Ten titles won by teams. All-America honors put out. are earned by student athletes. Players have graduated. They've done well in the classroom. That's certainly good to see. And you know, when you look at the long-term success of athletic departments, athletic programs, you're looking at not just on the field, but off the field stuff. How are you representing your university in the classroom? How are you representing your university in the community? Obviously, it's a big part of it too, but also how are you competing? How are you stacking up with the rest of your conference? How are you stacking up with even your rivals? Not just in your state, but kind of in that circle, right? And you want to make sure you're, as a university, keeping up on the field with the teams that you compete against the most. Obviously, for Iowa, that's the Big Ten, but you also see them competing against, you know, Iowa State for a lot of the same, players comes to football and even basketball. It's an interesting thing to look at when you look at on-field success when Gary Barta has been the athletic director. Obviously, football has been stable. Two Big Ten West championships, but not a true Big Ten championship. Got to the Big Ten title game in 2015. Everybody just want to forget the name L.J. Scott, but we have to remember it. It's part of the Big Ten title game. I was just as mad as you were, don't worry, with that game in 2015. And then the disaster that was the Big Ten championship game following the 2021 season. But football has been stable. Kirk Ferentz continues to lead that program and continues to be a solid leader for the football program. Now, how much longer is he going to be in that position? That's certainly a fair question going forward, not just with, Gary Barta being retiring here as of August, but also with all the changes in college football. How much longer will Kirk Ferentz be at the university? That's obviously a conversation for another day, but football largely has been stable. Men's basketball, one of the first parts of Gary Barta's tenure was Steve Alford leaving Iowa for New Mexico, bringing in Todd Licklider, which you look at his resume at the time, and I've seen other folks talk about this, reflecting on kind of the move at the time. Hiring the National Coach of the Year certainly doesn't look bad on paper, but the tenure was a disaster. Let's be real. It was not a good tenure in Iowa City. Gary Barta obviously realizing that, moving on from Todd Licklider and bringing in Fran McCaffrey, who is brought the program back up to a certain level of success. The postseason success has not necessarily been there, especially when you look at the NCAA tournament and still have yet to make a Sweet 16, if that is the true measuring stick for the program. But overall, it is a relatively successful program under Fran McCaffrey. Women's basketball has grown to heights really I don't think ever seen before. And Caitlin Clark, Lisa Bluter, and even going back to Megan Gustafson and the players before them have played a role in that. Baseball, another hire that Gary Barta made with Rick Heller. We're talking about Iowa baseball playing in Omaha. Certainly a hire that will be considered a success. Women's field hockey, track and field also doing very well. There are obviously some misses too, but a lot of the coaches that have either been in place under Gary Barta or were hired by Gary Barta have been successful. Also a very successful fundraiser too. I don't want to go through everything, but seen a lot of expansion. You see improvement projects to Kinnick Stadium, new complexes for football program and wrestling program and all the different sports that have seen money come into them and get their new facilities off the ground. And plenty more of those types of things that you've seen under Gary Barta's tenure. Those are all positives, but as I said, there are definite negatives from the tenure as well. Not an exhaustive list, like I said. There's a number of lawsuit settlements that have totaled over $11 million over the last 6 years. Related to gender discrimination, racial discrimination, Title IX over the last 6 years. Mentioned before, controversy over cutting sports programs, men's gymnastics, men's tennis, men's and women's swimming and diving. They were all on the chopping block because of, at the time, economic problems. It was cited as economic problems during the COVID pandemic. Gary Barta saying to Sports Illustrated at the time, quote, "We had to cut sports and we had to get to the decision of which ones. And that's been a challenge." That was the quote from 2020. Iowa then in 2021 had to reinstate the women's swimming and diving team after federal judge found athletes had a fair chance of winning a lawsuit against the University of Iowa. Iowa had to pay $400,000, reinstate swimming and diving, and add women's wrestling as part of that Title IX settlement after the pandemic time. The three men's sports, by the way, under that were still cut by the university. There were obviously plenty of other missteps, especially recently. You could lump in the student athlete sports betting investigation under that too. Now, obviously not him directly 100% to blame for it. Obviously players are told the rules and know the rules that are put in place by them and violated them. We still don't know how that is going to how that's going to play out, but plenty of controversies, plenty of bad things to go along with the good. So where do you side? Do you think of the good before the bad or the bad before the good when you look at Gary Barta's tenure at the University of Iowa, which is coming to an end on August 1st? 319-366-1600, 8699 chiming in. Joey Woody, pushing Iowa track and field. And obviously Gary Barta getting credit for that hire as well. Among the coaches that I mentioned, track and field, women's field hockey doing very well. Softball had some not so great years, but this year especially getting into the essentially the softball version of the NIT and winning that. Certainly you'd think the trajectory would be going up for softball. We'll see, but it's going to be interesting to see how this tenure is viewed going forward. I think it's a mixed bag, honestly, like I said. I mean, you could either look at it either way. One thing I will say, and one thing I noticed just reading reaction on social media, the reaction we've got here at the station to our, us sharing the news on our social accounts, one thing I will say about that, and one thing I think that a lot of people will see, a lot of people have said, a lot of people celebrating the news, celebrating that he's stepping down August 1st. That leads me to believe that a lot of more people are maybe not, you know, 100% glad he was gone, but understand it's time for a new voice. And I think I'd side with that. Independent observer here, you know, I don't come from this area. I've followed Iowa sports, whether it's Iowa, Iowa State, you know, being a fan of the Big Ten and Big 12, being a fan of college sports in general. You look at the teams, you look at the how teams are doing, how coaches are doing, you follow up with the latest news. Just in general, my humble opinion, I think it was time for a new voice. And I think it's time for this Iowa program, this Iowa Athletic Department to move to a different voice leading the helm. And that's certainly what we're going to get here after the retirement of Gary Barta, which, again, not official till August 1st, but university telling us as of earlier today they are going to name an interim AD next week, not earlier this week. News just came out today. They can't do it retroactively. I guess they could if they really wanted to, but interim athletic director going to be named next week. Likely replacement. There are a number of names floating out there. We don't know who's going to be interested, who's going to want the job. I'm sure a lot of people, sitting athletic directors, will want the job. But the easy name to point to is Beth Goetz, the deputy athletic director for the University of Iowa. Iowa, you'd imagine, would likely open up their job search for this position. But as of right now, he had to point to one person as maybe the favorite to take over this job. It would be Goetz, who, of course, came to Iowa in September after serving as Ball State's athletic director since 2018. See if she indeed is the person moving forward. I guess we'll get more clarity on that next week. But Gary Barta, the big news today, announcing he will step down as of August 1st. News coming out earlier this morning. And like I said, I think he really summarized his tenure in one word. That's complicated. Good and bad. Does the bad outweigh the good? The good outweigh the bad? It's up to you to decide. 319-366-1600. Your thoughts welcome. We'll share more of those coming up in just a bit. One of the teams that has been successful is Iowa baseball. Coach Rick Heller's got the Hawkeyes rolling on in Omaha. They will play tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Still waiting to see who they're going to play. Could be Indiana again. We'll find out after this Indiana-Michigan game is done, but we'll get into a little Big Ten baseball talk. Take a look at Major League Baseball as well. Spencer on sports for a Friday at the gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have plenty of sunshine today. Temperatures will be in the mid to upper 70s, and it's going to be nice and comfortable with low humidity. We'll be feeling the comfortable weather tonight as temperatures drop down into the mid 40s under clear skies. Then tomorrow will be sunny and a little warmer. Temperatures get closer to 80 degrees. We'll be in the low to mid 80s on Sunday and the mid to upper 80s on Monday. The dry, warm, sunny weather continues into next week too. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
The Earth is a big ball of energy. E&J Geothermal wants to help you tap into it. Spring is an ideal time to have E&J install a geothermal system to heat and cool your home. An energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system from E&J Geothermal saves money on your energy bills, sure. But right now, you'll save even more with the extended federal and state geothermal tax credits. The folks at E&J Geothermal would be happy to tell you all about it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Save big money in your next project with 11% off everything now at Menards. Ultra Advanced is a premium quality stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Pick up a gallon of Ultra Advanced semi-transparent stain and sealant in one for only $34.49 after 11% off. Good through May 29th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back at 227, Spencer at Sports for a Friday, 26th day of May of 2023, 319-366-1600. Spent some time talking about the big story of the day. University of Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta announcing he will step down effective August 1st. Iowa saying they will name an interim athletic director next week. We'll see how that search plays out going forward. Missed anything from that portion of the conversation, you can always check out the podcast at kgymradio.com. It'll be up after the show. Moving on to baseball, we'll get you an MLB scoreboard update. One daytime game today. That is the Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds. Things not going well for the Cubs. We'll tell you why in just a little bit. Got Indiana and Michigan on the TV from Omaha. Beautiful sun-splashed Omaha. I had a minor, I wouldn't call it a panic, but Kevin Kugler, who's doing the TV for Big Ten Network, put out a little pre-broadcast tweet and said, "And of course, we'll start with a lightning delay." I'm like, "Well, what? What's going on?" He was kidding. He was not being serious. Beautiful weather. It looks like in Omaha. I believe I was at the Colonels game last night. Speaking of weather, gorgeous last night. Had to break out the long sleeve zip up last night. Sitting in the Colonels game, got to like 63 by the eighth and ninth. Gorgeous night for weather. Not gorgeous on the scoreboard for Cedar Rapids Colonels. Last three games, losing to Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, the Baby Brewers, last night, 8-4. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. But gorgeous weather in Omaha today for the Big Ten tournament. They did have, I believe, a lightning delay, if I saw correctly, part of the Maryland-Nebraska game last night. But overall, been a good weather week. Usually it's not in Omaha. You can hear me knocking on the counter, meaning I'm hoping that there are no weather issues going forward for this weekend. But this weekend will feature Iowa moving on to the semifinals, essentially, of the Big Ten tournament. All they need to do is win a game, and they play for the championship coming up on Sunday. Obviously, it's double elimination, so if they were to go out tomorrow, lose their first game, lose the second game, they're done. But Iowa sitting in pretty good shape here to possibly take home the Big Ten title, which obviously would guarantee you the Big Ten tournament title, that is, which would guarantee you a spot in the NCAA regionals, regardless of how you finished. And I said this on Twitter last night, said this on the show yesterday too. Iowa, I think, went over Indiana yesterday, comeback victory, beating the number two seed in the Big Ten. Just icing on the cake, essentially, for the NCAA regional. The win over Michigan, in my humble opinion, Tuesday, the 13-3 victory we talked about Tuesday on the show, the eight-inning win over the Wolverines, that pretty much sealed it. I think if there was any even glimpse of doubt, a little speck of doubt left for Iowa to make the NCAA regionals, I think beating Indiana yesterday in the fashion that they did certainly erased all of that. So I think one person's humble opinion, I'm sure most of you who follow college baseball would agree, Iowa is likely in for the NCAA regionals. We will find out coming up on Monday if and when they will be playing. I think the if can be removed, but they will be likely playing in an NCAA regional here next week. Site yet to be determined, but on the table still is a Big Ten tournament championship for Coach Heller and his squad. 9 a.m. tomorrow, who will they play? Well, the winner of this game, Indiana and Michigan. The winner will move on to face Iowa in the game tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Iowa's played both of them already. They've won rather handily in both, 13-3 over Michigan in Tuesday's game, and then coming back to win 9-4 after struggling for a good part of that first part of yesterday's game. Iowa able to pull off a victory, late-inning rally to beat the Hoosiers and get to Saturday. So another full day off, obviously good for the pitching staff, and we'll see if Iowa can continue this run in Omaha. Indiana and Michigan, like I said, going on right now. Second inning, two outs, and Michigan with a runner on here, trying to draw first blood in that game. On the other side of the bracket, Maryland beating Nebraska, the game that had a lightning delay, of course. Then it went to 10 innings. Maryland beating Nebraska 2-1 in front of the Husker faithful yesterday in Omaha. So Maryland is moving on to tomorrow at 1 o'clock. That is when they will play. Next, they will play the winner of Nebraska and Michigan State. Nebraska, the 4 seed, Michigan State, the 8 seed. Those two will play an elimination game later tonight at 7 o'clock. So for sure, 9 a.m. tomorrow for Iowa. Could also play at 5 p.m. If necessary. If they do end up losing to either Indiana or Michigan, they'd play again at 5 against the same team. So you have to play them twice, essentially, there. And the winner, whoever comes out of this mess on either side of the bracket, not necessarily a mess, but whoever comes out of this this bracket will play for the championship Sunday at 2 o'clock in Omaha. So that's the latest there. Iowa awaiting their opponent for tomorrow. 319-366-1600, looking at the Major League scoreboard here for today. Like I said, just one game in progress. That is the Cubs hosting the Reds, opening up a weekend series at Wrigley. Cubs down 6-0, bottom half of the fourth inning. Reds putting up a three spot in the top half of the frame so far. Tyler Stevenson, 3-for-3 with a double and two runs batted in. Former Cedar Rapids Colonel Spencer Steer, one of the great names in baseball, not just because his name is Spencer. Spencer Steer, Spencer Torkelson, two of the greatest names in baseball, partially because their name is Spencer, but Spencer Steer, 2-for-3 with a triple and a run batted in for the Reds here today so far as they lead 6-0 at the friendly confines in Chicago. Scores from yesterday, in case you missed it, Detroit beating the White Sox 7-2. The Cardinals beating Cincinnati. That game was final yesterday afternoon, 2-1. San Francisco shutting out Milwaukee last night, 5-0. You also had Tampa beating Toronto 6-3. Colorado, a comeback win over Miami. San Diego, 8-6 over Washington. Atlanta beating Philly, 8-5. Seattle over Oakland, 3-2. And how about those Baltimore Orioles? Keep that hype train rolling. The O's, nice road trip. People thought, okay, you know, O's have done well to start the year. Now we'll see how they do against American League competition. American League East competition, I guess, is the better way to put it, be more specific than just the AL in general. Well, the O's had a 6-game road trip against AL East opponents at Toronto and at the Yankees. They went 5-1, ended up taking a series with the Yankees in the Bronx, winning 3-1 yesterday. Baltimore has the second best record in baseball, 33-17 for the O's. See if they can continue that run that they're on here as we get into the month of June. But the O's playing some good baseball right now. The series for this weekend, series of interest of this weekend, you've got regional series including the Cubs and the Reds, White Sox and the Tigers this weekend. The St. Louis Cardinals in Cleveland taking on the Guardians. Milwaukee entertaining San Francisco. You've also got the Royals and the Washington Nationals from Kauffman Stadium at 7:10 tonight. Minnesota hosting Toronto as well at 7:10 tonight. Blue Jays and the Twins up at Target Field. And Cedar Rapids' own Mitch Keller pitching tonight at 9:10 out in Seattle. Pittsburgh still trying to keep pace in the National League Central, had that really nice start to the year. Pittsburgh 1.5 back of Milwaukee, just 1 game above 500. Mitch Keller has far and away been their best pitcher this year, has had some very good outings of late. See if he can keep that going on the West Coast tonight against another solid young starter in George Kirby for the Mariners. That is a 9:10 start time tonight if you're so inclined to check that out. On the West Coast. A couple other intriguing ones going on this weekend. You've got the 2020 World Series rematch. The Dodgers and Rays starting a series tonight in Tampa Bay. Both teams, of course, division leaders. Rays with the best record in baseball. Padres and Yankees, also underrated series. Texas and Baltimore. Baltimore mentioned second best record in the baseball world. Texas Rangers, pretty good season to start, too. 3 games up on the Astros in the American League West. So interesting stuff happening for the Memorial Day weekend. We do have baseball mixed in with not only basketball, but also the Indy 500 here on KGYM this weekend. We've got Phillies Braves tomorrow at 2:30 and for Sunday night baseball. And then on Monday, we've got the Twins and the Astros from Houston, 2:30 start time on Monday for that one from ESPN Radio. So if you're looking for our local content, of course, we have the holiday off. Enjoy some ESPN Radio Baseball in our place with the Twins and the Astros on Monday afternoon. 319-366-1600. Back in just a little bit with NBA playoff talk. There is going to be a Game 6. Should the Heat be worried? Should they be panicking? We'll explore that question coming up in just a little bit. It's Spencer at Sports with you on the Gym.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Wendy's $3 breakfast deal is a bacon or sausage egg croissant plus small seasoned potatoes for $3. It's the breakfast that don't miss. So if you did miss Wendy's breakfast, don't imagine. Fresh cracked eggs, sizzling sausage, crispy bacon, and block out those hot, buttery, flaky croissants. Croissants don't really make a sound, but if they did, for breakfast that don't miss, Wendy's is that breakfast. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's $3 breakfast deal.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Select a request $3 breakfast deal to obtain discount. Not valid for a la carte or combo orders.
The NBA playoffs continue on ESPN Radio. After surviving their second straight must-win, the Celtics face yet another must-win, this time in Game 6. Will they survive? Or will the Heat finally put them away in advance to the NBA Finals?
Beats the buzzer with a three!
Here, Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, tomorrow night at 7 on the Gym. And it will be right here, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Hear the action right here on KGYM with Game 6, Celtics and the Heat. 319-366-1600. That is our poll question, or at least partially has to do with our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Asking you, is your opinion still the same as it was a couple days ago? What will the NBA Finals matchup look like? Do you still think it's going to be Heat Nuggets, or are you changing your mind? Are you saying Celtics Nuggets? Either are on the table right now. I'm sticking with my prediction. I picked the Celtics to win this series in six. So can't really happen now. It's got to go seven. I guess my prediction was always Celtics Nuggets, Isaac. I thought the Heat were going to win this series. I still think they will, knowing what we know now. But If there's a game seven, do you agree with me? If there's a game seven,
yeah,
Celtics are going to win that?
Yeah, if there's a game seven, I think Celtics will win. Again, we talked about how the Celtics at home record in the playoffs isn't great, but the Celtics as a team, this is just kind of representative of their whole season, feel like, where they were wildly inconsistent between games, it felt like. Sometimes I think they lost twice to Orlando at home, and you know, and then they would go out and beat the next game and look like the best team in the NBA. So really this series, I think, just kind of typifies that, where, you know, they are bad. I don't know how else to put it. They're bad the first three games, and these last two games, they've been shooting the lights out, and they've been looked energetic and playing defensive well. And yeah, I don't know. It just kind of is pretty representative of their whole season, I feel like.
I was listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons last night on the way home from the Colonels game, and Freddie Coleman, one of the co-hosts of Freddie and Fitzsimmons, called the Celtics the Goofy Celtics, and he played a clip of Goofy from the Disney show, but we make fun of it, but it's so true. Like, you just, can you figure this team out? Like, they had a chance to close out the Hawks in the first round. They played with their food a little bit, eventually got, you know, they were going to sweep that series, if I'm not mistaken. They eventually got it done. You know, the Sixers, just a series that I thought, you know, throughout this, they were the better team in that series and in this series, too, with Miami. But, boy, you know, they go down 3-2 to the Sixers. They're on the brink of elimination there. It takes a better fourth quarter and a terrible game for Jason Tatum to get them out of Game 6. It takes an otherworldly performance in Game 7.
Historic performance.
Yeah, 51 points.
Most points all time in Game 7.
Yeah, surpassing Steph, who just did it the round before with Golden State, Steph Curry. And now down 3-0, and, you know, here we are, and on. I'm the one who said it all throughout the show, like, and it's still true, teams down 3-0 are 0-150 all time. Well, could they be the one? Are we going to say teams are 1-150 all time after all is said and done?
I mean, they've got, the thing that's always been going for them in this series is that they've got more talent. They have an MVP caliber player in Jason Tatum, and they have an All-NBA caliber player in Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown had not been playing like that the first three games. I think he averaged was like 17 points per game, which he averaged 27, I want to say, during the regular season. And I think he shot like 10% from three or something like that in the first, just like abysmal from three. And so that's what the Celtics have had going for them, is they've had talent for them, far more talent than the Heat have, no disrespect to them, but undrafted players and older guys. So I don't know, it's just, it's really hard to get a read on this team. It really just depends on, it seems like it varies day to day what Celtics team shows up. So it's hard to really say that, oh, they're going to go in Miami and force a game seven. I think if they do force a game seven, I would predict them to come out of that, but I wouldn't particularly feel comfortable about doing that either, just because of the vast differences between game to game.
You talk about three-point shooting. I saw this earlier today. The last two games, three-point shooting has definitely made a difference for Boston. Last two games, they're shooting 40%, 34 of 84 from beyond the arc. First three games, they were 31 of 106 from beyond the three-point arc. That's 29%. So obviously, you know, I mean, it's a Captain Obvious kind of stat, but, you know, you shoot the three ball better, you're going to have more success. And, you know, they've played better defensively. They shut down Jimmy Butler last night. Butler had, only 14 points, 5 of 10 from the floor. Duncan Robinson was your leading scorer last night. I mean, I know he had a huge game in, what was that, game three? He and Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent all went off, and Jimmy Butler kind of took a step back. But, you know, I don't know, is playoff Jimmy losing his luster here a little bit? It seems like he kind of is, maybe.
I do wonder if he's starting to get a little tired. I mean, again, the Heat don't have the most, they're not the most talented team in the league or anything. They have Jimmy, they have, you know, quality places around him. Obviously, Tyler Hero's out, which is a big, you know, talent deficit there. It's hard to imagine that he's not getting tired or the Heat aren't getting tired. Again, just how they, the sort of style that they play with really defensive-minded and really just kind of aggressive defensively. I don't know. I could see, I think Jimmy might be kind of wearing out a little bit now. I'm not saying that that means that like the gas tank is empty or anything like that, or that the Heat are finished, but I think it might, these games where they're, you could say they're overperforming might be getting to them a little bit.
319-366-1600. Should the Heat be worried? Celtics fans, I know you're out there too. What's your confidence level at? Todd Brommelkamp included. I should just call him in the studio. He's busy agonizing over the Cubs game I see on Twitter, so maybe he's preoccupied. 319-366-1600. This is what Joe Mazzulla had to say about the team feeling more connected over the last two games as they try to crawl out of this 3-0 deficit.
One of our assistants put it in great perspective. The season's like 9 months long, and we just had a bad week. Sometimes you have a bad week at work. And, you know, we obviously didn't pick the best time to have a bad week, but we did. And we're sticking together and fighting like hell to keep it alive. And the guys are really coming together.
Is the cause to come back from this brought the guys together? I know it's a pretty obvious answer, but how has it and has it?
I mean, I think it's just your back's against the wall. You don't have a choice. And so it builds a connection and builds, an opportunity. And so, like I've said it all year, the guys in that locker room, they always stick together. And, when our backs are against the wall, we just have to continue that.
Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla weighing in there about connectivity from his players after the last two games. On the other side, Eric Spoelstra, this is kind of – I like this response. My respect for Eric Spoelstra has grown quite a bit, especially this entire playoff run. Didn't like hate the guy or anything. I'm not a big Miami Heat fan. I like Jimmy Butler because he went to Marquette. You know, they have some decent guys on their team. I'm not going to say I'm going to openly cheer for them, but got a lot of respect for Eric Spoelstra over the last year and last couple years as a head coach. And he had this to say. He was asked about kind of one of those toss-away questions like, Coach, what's the mood of your team after you just lost the second game in a row?
Who cares about mood? Like, we have a gnarly group. So I think so much of that is overrated. It's a competitive series. You always expect, things to be challenging in the conference finals. One game doesn't lead to the next game. Based on all the experience that we've had, it doesn't matter in the playoffs. It doesn't matter if you lose by whatever. We beat them by whatever in game three. It just doesn't matter. It's about, collectively preparing and putting together, a great game. We'll play much better on Saturday. And that's all we just have to focus on right now.
Bonus points to Spo for using the word gnarly in that response. Gnarly, man. Got a gnarly group of what is this, like 2000, when was gnarly popular? I'm not up on my slang. Isaac, do you know when was gnarly popular?
Man, I don't know.
It was like 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't even
80s,
know.
80s, 90s?
I can't say that it was during my lifetime.
No, yeah. Gnarly. I haven't heard anybody use the word gnarly in a while. So Eric Spoelstra, remember some slang here this afternoon with his comments there. I like that response, though. Like you said, I don't care about mood. Like, we're just want to, yeah, we got to play a game six. We're going to be ready for it. And I think that's, you know, the mindset they need to have. Jimmy Butler says, hey, we're going to win game six.
Because the last two games are not who we are. It just happened to be that way. And we stopped playing defense halfway because we didn't make shots that we want to make. But that's easy correctable. We just got to come out and play harder from jump. So, like I always say, it's going to be all smiles. We're going to keep it very, very, very consistent, knowing that we are going to win the next game.
Jimmy Butler says, we're going to win the next game. Appreciate the confidence from Jimmy Butler. We'll see if the confidence matches up what happens on the court. 4702. Okay, Gnarly is from the 80s. See, I was born in 90, so probably not way ahead of my time, but I was not around from when Gnarly was cool. I'm assuming Gnarly is no longer cool slang. Should we pull the folks over at Z102.9?
I think we might be able to force it to have a comeback. I think comeback starts now, yeah. For Gnarly.
So, okay. I'm going to see if I can work the word Gnarly into a show. Just at random. Random old slang of the day. That's our quest for the summer. Just find a random slang term and just throw it out there. Work it into the show. 319-366-1600. Heat and Celtics game six coming up tomorrow night. Again, 7 o'clock is the pregame show. 7:30 tip-off. TNT is the TV coverage. We've got the radio coverage from ESPN Radio here for this weekend. If game seven does happen, by the way, it will be Monday night. We'd also have it for you here on KGYM. 1841 on the text line. Gnarly is definitely pre-Barta. Circling back to the news from Gary Barta, announcing his retirement effective August 1st. I would agree. Yeah, pre-2006, that would make sense. Wonder if has Gary Barta ever used the word gnarly at any point in his life? Maybe. Now we're just going down the rabbit hole. I don't know. Celtics will try to force a game seven. They would be just the fourth team in NBA history to do so. Previous three have lost. Last team to do it, by the way, was the 2003 Portland Trail Blazers. If we had more time, we may remember a few guys, but that was the last team to force a game seven after being down 3-0. They lost to Dallas in game seven. See if the Celtics can make some history this weekend. Back in 60 seconds to wrap up the show after this in the gym.
Paid actor, not a real customer. Quote based on a healthy, non-smoking 44-year-old male with a 20-year term policy. Rates may vary.
Welcome to Ethos, a new kind of insurance company that believes life insurance should be hassle-free, affordable, and accessible for everyone.
For around $1 a day, I got a 20-year, $250,000 term life insurance policy without a medical exam. All I had to do was answer a few health questions and snap, family protected. It was quick and easy. Ethos is 100% online. I got a quote in seconds, applied in minutes, and got coverage in hours. Just answer a few health questions. No medical exam, no blood tests, no hassle. Look, nobody wants to plan for the unthinkable, but it would be so much worse to not plan at all. So don't put it off. It feels great having the peace of mind knowing that my family is protected.
Ethos, the 100% online hassle-free way to get affordable life insurance. Don't wait. Get your free online quote now at ethoslife.com. That's ethoslife.com.
Back to wrap it up, Spencer on Sports here on a Friday afternoon, May 26th of 2023. 319-366-1600. Okay, I had to do it. BasketballReference.com opened up the 2003 Portland Trail Blazers roster. I'll just toss out a few names. You can do with this information what you wish. Theo Ratliff, Damon Stoudemire, Rasheed Wallace. Ball don't lie, Rasheed Wallace, he's in there. Bonzi Wells, Dan Dickow, Dale Davis, Matt Carroll. Remember Matt Carroll? Who's Matt Carroll? Sharif Abdur-Rahim is on that team. And I think that's all we have time for. But 0-3 Portland Trailblazers, last team to come back from down 3-0 to force a game seven. We'll see if the Celtics can do so tomorrow. There will not be a sweep in hockey, by the way. Western Conference Finals did get extended last night. Joe Pavelski, the Wisconsin native, with a power play goal at the 3:18 mark of overtime to give the Dallas Stars a 3-2 win over the Vegas Golden Knights, the fourth career playoff overtime goal for Joe Pavelski last night as they force a game five tomorrow night in Las Vegas. Winner, of course, will move on to face the Florida Panthers for the Stanley Cup, which that series is set to begin June 3rd, I believe, if the series ends in five. I saw, this is totally unconfirmed, this is terrible journalism, but they may move the start of it up. Don't know if that's official or not. I could be completely wrong, in which case you should forget I ever said that. But looking like Vegas will have an opportunity to clinch that series coming up tomorrow night in Vegas. 7 o'clock on ABC TV, if you are so inclined to check out the hockey tomorrow night. William Karlsson and Jonathan Marchessault had the goals last night for Vegas. Jason Robertson scoring twice for the Stars in the win last night over Las Vegas. So there you go. That is the latest from hockey. We don't have hockey for you tomorrow night. We do have the NBA for you tomorrow night, NBA playoffs from ESPN Radio. 319-366-1600. Don't forget our poll question at kgymradio.com, courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement, asking you about the NBA Finals. What's the matchup going to look like in your opinion, knowing what we know now? Do you think it's going to be Heat and Nuggets, or do you think it's going to be Celtics and Nuggets? Early leader in the clubhouse. Kind of surprised at this. Heat and Nuggets. Heat versus Nuggets. I'm surprised, but I guess I shouldn't be all that surprised, considering the Heat have the series lead. But that is overwhelming favorite in the clubhouse on the poll question at kgymradio.com. Stay tuned for the gym class. Back with you today from 3 until 4. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes with you for the next hour. Todd Brommelkamp in between 4 and 6 tonight as well. Local shows off Monday. Don't forget that. We'll be back with you Tuesday with local shows here on KGYM. Enjoy the holiday weekend.